Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
In the spirit of reconciliation, the Swapcast acknowledges the traditional custodians of country throughout Australia and their connections to land, sea, and community. We pay our respect to the elders, past and present, and extend that respect to all Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander peoples today.
We're talking again
about body swapping.
Welcome to the Swapcast podcast, the world's only podcast dedicated to body swap movies. I'm your host, Paul Mitzi, and with me we have
Lucy Thomas
and
Brendan Levi.
In today's episode, we'll be breaking down the 2000 TV movie 17 again, but not the Zac Efron movie, starring Tia Mowry and Tamara Mowry, where a young scientist spills harmful chemicals on his grandparents' soap, which causes them to de-age into their 17-year-old selves. But before we get into that, just a reminder that we absolutely love hearing from our listeners and we welcome film suggestions for future episodes. So please reach out to us on Twitter or Instagram. Send us an email at theswapcastpodcast@gmail.com. And if you want to support our show, reviewing us is the best way possible. So to say thank you, if we reach 100 star ratings on iTunes and Spotify, we will finally fulfill our fans' most common request to review Face Off.
Brendan, are you drinking some kind of cocktail?
Yes.
Who makes a drink like that for themselves just when they're at home? That's amazing.
Anyone for me and for Katrina.
Brendan's finally gotten to the point where he needs alcohol to put
to
up
drink to get through this podcast. Yeah,
I can understand that.
So just want to mention that we have had some lovely emails since our last episode. I specifically want to shout out Nora, Francesca and Josh, who all gave us some lovely messages and some recommendations for future movies as well, including the one I'm going to say is our next episode at the end of this one. So look forward to that.
Oh, that's awesome. I was really curious if people were still listening.
Yeah.
How many weeks has it been since our last episode?
It's been a while. Last one was the week of Christmas because it was family swap. So it's been like nearly 2 months. But it seems like our listeners have used the opportunity to go through all our back catalogue, which is lovely. So
Yeah.
And, you know, we have a big back catalog. If you haven't looked, there's hundreds of episodes there to go back on. So if you ever get frustrated by the fact the episodes aren't coming out as often anymore, just go back. We've got lots. I'm sure you haven't listened
and
to
And also, if you want to just come and babysit my kids, then we could fix that problem. But, you know, shut up. No.
Yeah, anyone at home right now is like, yeah, about time. Go fuck yourselves. Yeah. Listen to something else.
Yeah, we love our
It's the golden age of podcasting. There's plenty out there.
Yeah, exactly.
None as weird and niche as ours, but...
Yeah. So, on to 17 again. Not the Zac Efron movie.
It's, you know how many times...
Parentheses.
What was that? Sorry, Brendan?
The amount of times you had to tell me that we're not watching the Zac Efron one again.
17 again? Yeah.
Yeah. It has been a while since we recorded an episode. So has your time away from the genre made you see this film with fresh eyes? Or did it feel like yet another straight-to-TV body swap piece of trash? Lucy.
So I heard this quote that was about something else, but it's like that how you need to meet everything. You need to meet this film where it is, okay? So tell me, this was a TV movie, yes?
Yes, yeah.
Okay. I think for what it was, I didn't hate it. There was some good there. I don't know if it's because I don't ever get to watch movies. I'm like, this is pretty good.
Oh.
You need to meet it where it is, though. I think maybe I've learned this more and more while watching this podcast. Like when we watched Velocipasta, I was like, oh, I fucking hate this. This is terrible and trash and low budget. But it was terrible and trash and low budget, you know? Like that's its strengths. Yeah. So, you know, not reinventing the wheel. yada yada, but there's a lot that I'm ready to riff on in this movie, if that's anything to be talked about.
Nice. Brendan, what did you think?
Yeah, like, you know, like, you're like, and you think your parents were weird. Like, there is a sort of a charm to how so wholesome and how, like, detached from the realities of actual, like, high school life and, like, you know, home dynamics and all anything to do with relationships. It's almost in that world where, like, these things are so fixable in such a practical and easy way that it's almost comforting, almost.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree. Also, yeah. I started to make a comparison to another movie that I completely love, which I'll go into. It's like, I've got a TED Talk ready for this.
Okay.
But I think that just totally made me watch it with rose-colored glasses, so who knows?
Okay. Yeah.
I love that there was a kid inventor like myself in there.
You're not a kid anymore, Brent.
I know. I'm like, yeah, I know.
Yeah, I have to say I'm pretty much online with you guys. Like, yes, it's a story we've seen in ways. Yes, the production values are horrid. But I have to say,
oh my God, like, watching a movie on YouTube equals death is so bad.
Yeah. But I didn't hate watching this film. I thought it was fun and it did have charm to it. For me, I think what really pushed this over the line into good is like the lead performance by Tamara Mowry as like the grandma who's become young. Like, I think it's one of the best SWAT performances we've seen. Like, like she looks young, but there is never a question that she's the grandma. Like, I never questioned it for a second.
Yeah.
And
like, she bad acted as bad as the grandma bad acted.
Exactly.
Sure.
So,
like, one of my notes says, being an identical twin runs you a lot of extra miles in the talent department. Like,
yeah.
Are they identical twins?
They are identical twins, yeah.
Except one is obviously the hotter one, right?
We'll get into that later.
I don't know how many of these drinks I've had.
I just think like it was very like her performance is very likable. And like she had some big like emotional moments that I thought she did well. So I like actually cared about the characters, which goes a long way, because how many of these fucking movies have we watched where we don't give a shit about anyone? So yeah, I'm ready for your TED Talk now, Lucy.
Oh, you know what's so funny? I'm reading through my notes. You kind of probably have to edit this out, but I can't really remember why I started to make this comparison.
Okay.
I wrote down Bring It On. Why did I do that?
Bring It On.
Okay.
Bring It On. Yes. Go with me here. Why did I write this?
Well, there is a cheerleader. There's a cheerleading audition.
Yes. What's the other thing where, like, you know, in Bring It On, where Kirsten Dunst's cheerleading team, they're stealing all their cheers from the party?
The town over.
Yeah, from the Clovers, yeah.
Yes, from the Clovers. So what, that's why I wrote it down.
I would say the bigger, like, kind of thing that I can think of is, like, Eliza Dushku's character in Bring It On is, like, the big city girl that's come to the smaller town is upset that she's had to move, and then is like tries to get onto the cheerleading team. Like,
and they won't let her, even though she is really good. I wrote it down three times. I was like, bring it on. And then I didn't elaborate what it reminded, like why I wrote that down. In my adult brain, I've gotten all confused. But once I started to think about Bring It On, I was just like, I love that movie. This is all right by me. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I get that. I don't know if I would compare it to Bring It On so favorably.
I would just do them as a double feature. So I wouldn't compare it, but they could be sister pieces.
Because to me, Bring It On is one of the all-time greatest movies of all time, period.
Yeah, I know. It's so good. I'm so keen to watch it again.
Yeah, yeah. It, like, as a sports film, it's just like a perfectly structured film. Like, I will, you know, the way that film, like, you know, purists go on about The Godfather, I will go about Bring It On. I've written it down.
I did write it down. Okay. So you know the way there's two movies called 17 Again?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they're both body swap movies. Is this like when the Torrance team steals from the Clovers? You know what I mean? It's like that issue is the, copying. That's what it was. Welcome to my TED Talk.
This is the African-American body swap film.
Yeah.
Zac Efron, the whitest person alive, has appropriated. Yes.
Yes. Okay.
Yeah.
We're back, baby.
Yeah.
I plucked it from the depths of my very tired mind. So there you go. Bring it on.
Yeah. So this film came out at the same period of time as some of the other straight to TV body swaps that we've done. Most notably, Wish Upon a Star.
Fully had that vibe too. You know how weirdly we loved that one.
Again, I don't think it's as good as that, but like it definitely has those vibes. Ice Angel, aka Skating for the Ice, Getting the Gold, or whatever the fuck it was called.
It's easily better than that one.
Yeah. But that was the same period of time as well. So yeah, it was like a real moment, like these teen swap TV movies.
Yeah, I wonder what the budget is. What's the sweet spot for a swap? Because really, like, the special effects and all this, there's really, it's all unnecessary money. Like, you can do a body swap quite cheap, hey?
Was there any special effects in this film?
No. Well, no way. Yeah, there was, like, the atoms bonding and stuff when, like, kid scientist, you know, spills the...
It's barely
the chemicals on the, yeah, on the side of that, yeah.
Okay, so we need to start with this kid scientist. Ola, I guess you need to do the plot, and then I can start from my dot points here.
Okay, so tie me in,
and I'll remember to watch it this time. Ready and go.
So there's a family with a daughter, and the grandparents come, but they've been divorced, and the parents have to go away, and then the kid does an experiment and puts chemicals on the soap, and the parents use the soap and it makes them young, and then they go to school for some reason, and then they learn to love each other again, and then they get back together and turn old again, and because they were going to die if they didn't, the end.
But you did it. I don't know if you really did it, but you talked for 30 seconds and then stopped talking.
So I paid about as much attention to you as I did to the movie.
Okay, yes, on that right. Okay, so it starts with this young inventor kid. I feel like I missed the first 5 minutes. I feel like I just got dropped into this movie.
It was a confusing opening. It was confusing.
And then also, the kid is not in it again. It's like he's locked in his room trying to figure out what... I'm like, he's completely irrelevant to the story.
He's the star. Like, honestly, like, the movie we want to watch is about this kid genius who can actually turn people young to old.
What's one of the other movies where the young inventor kid is chained in the lab? Like, he's like the whole time... He's 14 going on 40. Yes, he's the only one who stays home from school to try and figure out what the fuck's going on. And I just feel like this kid, it's like you meet him at the start, you're like, okay, well, this kid did this thing. Yep. And then at the end, he's like, I have the antidote, and throws it in a swimming pool. It's pretty full on.
Do you know... The weird thing is that this is our second movie in a row with a young kid who's still in school who does daily Zoom calls with physicists
from around
the world. Like, adult physicists call this
to consult with him on his
But like, would you go with me here and say this movie is as good as that one, and that other one was a huge Netflix budget and had Jennifer Garner and...
Oh, this is better than the Jennifer Garner.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
100%, yeah.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
I mean, on production value, no, but like in terms of script and performances, 100% yes.
Like, yeah, I would be able to say 100% because the copy that you showed us, Paul, is like 480p, and I watched it on the dad's television.
Yeah,
I don't know if I saw everything.
Yeah, but there was a lot of like janky camera moves and like
oh my god, the montage of her going down the stairs.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, they did like a boomerang. They were like, rewinding. We need a minute for
the montage with no montage. They were like, exactly. Let's do a montage where she like changes outfits. And she's like, no, nah, I'm not doing that. And they're like, oh.
We'll just start running up and down the stairs then.
Yeah, edit her going up and down the stairs.
Take that, rewind it back. Yeah.
Yeah, and even before that bit, so she like the montage starts, she's standing in front of the mirror in like rollers in her hair and a dressing gown. So you think, oh, she's going to take the dressing gown off and put on like nice clothes. But all it is her like twirling around, watching herself in the dressing gown. And every time you think she's about to get changed, she just keeps twirling. And then she eventually changes into a tracksuit and then goes down the stairs and it just keeps rewinding. So she goes back up and down the stairs 15 times. There's a lot of those. A reviewer I used to read used to call them avid farts because that's the name of the program that they used to edit back in those like deep, cheap digital days.
Where you avid fart?
Yeah, like Avid was the name of the program.
Okay.
You'd call it Avid
the program
farts.
Is called Avid Fart. But I get what you mean.
Yeah. So like all these stupid effects where it like slows it down and makes it look shaky or like it's just ugly. Mm-hmm. And like one of my, I'm a big supporter of the show and, you know, I have a lot of affection for it, but like this is like a Lizzie McGuire trademark. And I feel like this is
totally
trying for that aesthetic.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Or when they would do slow motion where like when they're at the club and they do slow motion, but it's not actually been recorded at a high enough frame rate. So it's like really like
jittery.
It's even the shots that they did shoot in slow motion are like the most boring, like dance moves. It's just like people sort of like shuffling their shoulders into the beat. Yeah.
There were some great things in a dance sequence where, you know, when you watch it and you really know that they're not dancing to music. Like there was one girl that I was watching who was cutting sick. Like she's going insane. I can't believe the director wasn't like, babe, you need to tone it down. You're dancing to a different song to everybody else.
Yeah.
And brilliant.
I want to understand what that nightclub was because these characters.
Are we on the Zoot revival?
Yeah. Oh, no.
The whole rest of the podcast could be about that.
No, the Orange Room.
The Orange Room, which is first nightclub they go to.
Yeah, sure.
Like, they're 17-year-old kids, and they're going to this nightclub where everyone's clearly, like, 35 and over.
Yeah.
what is that club?
It had a funny name, didn't it? They called it. It had a name. They kept saying it, but I can't remember. But
the Orange Room. No, it was called the Orange Room.
Oh, right. Okay.
Yeah.
Real original.
Did you notice? So they're listening, like they're playing a song in the Orange Room, and then they go to that Zoot Club, and there's a guy singing, and then later on there's a song, and in the end credits there's a song, and all four songs are by the same guy. And when I tried to Shazam the song,
I did nothing came up. I did that as well.
It's like Shazam's like, this doesn't exist.
Were all the songs wildly different?
They all were very of the era. Like one of them sounded like a Boys to Men type R&B.
This is like, you know, when people get headshots done and there's four different photos and one they're like wearing a scientist jacket and one they're like, it was like one was hip hop, one was like this Zoot revival thing. The Zoot revival. Okay, what do you call this genre of music? Is that like right?
Jazz?
Swing?
Swing, yeah.
Swing, yeah.
You know who is to blame for this, right? So it's very Brendan adjacent. It's like, you know, there was like ska, like in Clueless times, and then that kind of Zoot Zoot Riot came, was like an offshoot of that.
Yeah, yeah. No, it was definitely like connections between like the ska scene and, yeah.
Yes, and you know the way, it had a hot minute, and it's so embarrassing to think about.
As soon as they went into that club, I was like, Brendan would love this. Am I right? Did you love it?
It brought me back a bit, but I did do brilliant swing dance lessons for a bit.
Of course you did. Brilliant.
I went to like a show and there was like these like girls doing like awesome swing moves and then
to like a ska band. It's the horn section to like a ska band. I think it's like the horn section is the
it was like a rockabilly swing ska band. But anyway, like there was like an old man out in the parking lot and he was practicing his moves and then I was like, can you teach me a few? And then he's like, oh, well, I'll get my young, attractive daughters to teach you. And I, of course, signed up for lessons.
Brilliant. And then go with me here. So what was the movie? It was like the old timey one about kind of like a baseball team. It was very famous, had the famous actress in it.
A League of Their Own?
No, no. We've done on the podcast.
We did it on the podcast. Oh, yes. Damn Yankees.
The musical.
Yes, Damn Yankees.
Yeah.
You know when she danced in that movie and Brendan was like, yeah, because what guy doesn't want a woman that dances like a spider? You know how I was like,
yeah,
she was doing this fucking spider dance and it was like supposed to be sexy, but it was completely terrifying. So
yeah,
in this, they're at that club, the Zoot swing thing's happening, and she starts doing the fucking Charleston and everyone loses their mind.
Yeah.
It's like a whole bunch of teenagers supposedly, and she starts doing the fucking Charleston, which could not be like less
sexy. Yeah,
it just reminded me of when Brendan said that thing about dancing like a spider. It was like, yeah, no one wants the Charleston, babe, you don't have it.
Well, probably at that point in time everyone did want the Charleston. It was a crazy
revival
time.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was a crazy time. Probably the other like real artifact of the time, I don't know the term for this character, you can't say anymore.
Can't you?
No.
Oh, okay. I'm glad you told me. I would have used
it. Uh-oh, what is it?
It's like the N-word, but starting with a W instead.
Sure, in referral, yeah. I know what you mean.
A referral.
That was many people I went to high school with.
Yeah. That character was just such a like artifact of the time. Yeah. And it reminded me of Malibu's Most Wanted, to the point where I was like, was that a good movie? Can I recommend it as my tenuous? And then I was like, I haven't watched it. I watched the trailer. I'm like, I'm not comfortable doing that.
But you know the way like a Stifler type? That was kind of like a character that was in all those movies, you know?
Mm.
Yeah.
But I feel like this guy was like, the film was making fun of that character.
Yeah.
I don't think at any point they were saying that guy was cool in any way.
No.
And he was like channeling Seth Green, like from Can't Hardly Wait. Like,
yes,
he always looked like him, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. As a nostalgia machine, this film was pretty good. Like,
yes, like her saying in computer class.
Yeah.
And then I'm going to go on the computer. That is like, like, what do you mean? The thing that's in your pocket that you can scroll on anytime you want. I'm going to go on the computer. Wild.
Or when like the grandma goes to leave and she's like, I'm Indy 500. And it's like, no, no, no. We all say one. Do you remember when we all said one instead of Indy 500?
No.
What? I don't even know what you're saying.
Why? Me either.
Could you explain? Like, we used to all go like, all right, I'm out, one. Like, as in, like, one love, but we don't do that anymore. But we used to. Remember when we used to all do that?
Oh, yeah, because we never did, but the film posits that we did.
Yeah.
When she sees, like, the sexy boy from her class, she's like, oh, that's the guy from my computer class. He can email me anytime.
Wild.
And when the kid like the firefighters come to the house because they thought they burnt the house down, and they ask the kid his name, he's like Will Smith, and then the firefighter's like, oh, what were you doing, getting jiggy with it?
Yeah, amazing.
And the scene where the two guys were playing Sega Dreamcast as well. I spent many an hour playing that game on the Sega Dreamcast. So,
R.I.P.
Yeah.
So, you know, you're talking about how this movie was wholesome and that none of like the real world's problems really existed. Mm-hmm. I'm like watching it through the lens of today. And so
the cop scene?
Yes.
Oh,
yeah. Like this guy, like an African American guy, gets pulled over by a cop. He has no license. He flees.
No, he gives what looks like a forged license.
Yes.
In a car that he doesn't own.
Yeah.
And then flees and somehow doesn't get shot.
I was like, the whole time, like terrible. Yeah.
Yeah, I did find that kind of hilarious that the whole time I was like, oh, this is very tense. Like, this is probably back in the day. I was like, oh.
Yeah.
But just the climate.
Yeah, yeah, I've been trained by the films that I watch that this scene ends in bloodshed.
So yeah, like, yeah.
And I mean, not even the films that you watch, by the fucking news. Like,
yeah, exactly.
You know, have you seen that interview about their first season of Queer Eye, Paul, where there's a police officer and they get pulled over as a joke at the start?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And yeah, then, and Karamo, like, was, like, so mad at them. He's like, I can't believe you set this up as, like, a joke. Like, yeah.
They even addressed it in the episode itself. And they had a discussion about it. But, yeah, no, that scene was – that. It's funny how a scene can have this completely different context, like, 24 years later.
Because I wrote about how, you know, how the grandma, so she changes and she gets locked out of the house. Because she's got no phone, no wallet, no ID, no money. I'm like, she could die. And then the next scene is the grandpa getting pulled over by the police. And I was like, he is going to die. Yeah.
Well, but, you know, also in that scene,
movie land, it's,
yeah, also in that scene, she like nearly got mauled by a dog as well.
Yeah. Also near death.
Yeah. Usually dogs are like, are supposed to be like the ones who knows. Like
that
who
it's
the
them?
People are. Yeah, yeah they're yeah. like, they're sages for some reason. They can sense your aura, even if you change bodies. And
yeah,
this dog was like, I don't, like, you look exactly like Sidney Donovan, but you're not, and I'm going to kill you.
And it's weird how the dog wouldn't accept it, but all the other humans beings were like, yeah, that sounds fine. Yeah.
But they didn't even register it. Everyone at high school and stuff, they're not like, whoa, you look just like Sydney. They're like, hi, who are you? You're new. You don't look anything like an identical twin. Yeah. And then they start referring to her as cousin. And it's like, her identical twin is like her cousin. Yeah.
How do you think the sisters decided who got the role, which role?
Rock, paper, scissors.
Flipped for it, yeah.
Back to the dog. The dog should have, like, the woman would have smelled exactly the same in both versions of herself. So
she was covered in soap.
I love that this is, it was soap that did it. Like,
yeah, as a body spot,
how can we
mechanic,
get this chemical on the people?
Chemical explosion
onto soap.
On soap.
Brilliant.
Yeah, like, I had thought we'd seen it all in terms of swap mechanics. I did not, in a million years, I wouldn't have predicted.
Didn't expect soap?
Magical soap. Like,
yeah, love it.
So I give this film props for thinking of something new.
But then also, really, don't you think that the whole premise should have been that they kept aging in reverse? Like, the dog was getting younger and younger. It's like, shouldn't it have been that the clock was ticking and they were going to become babies and then they were going to, like, be erased? I mean, I know as a, like, you would have had to get different actors and blah, 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 but it's like, why did they just turn 17? That doesn't make any sense.
Yeah.
And also, like, the kid, like, washes the dog barehanded. Boy genius here.
Yeah.
Like, he should have been, like, his hands
should have gone all young. Yeah.
Yeah.
Good hand, yeah.
I don't think they thought through the science behind this concept.
Yeah, and you know how I know that? Because in the starting sequence, they were, like, trying to do a scientific, like, you see this? It was, like, the DNA and the whatever, and it was just, like, a lava lamp or something. They were, like, science things, but it just didn't look like anything technical.
Yeah, well, like, he is making this scientific formula, and the way he does it is by one of those, like, Rube Goldberg things where a marble hits a thing and then it opens another thing. It's like, this seems like a very overly complicated way of, like,
mixing something
into
and
not a very precise thing. Yeah. Mm. And also, okay, so the parents are going away, so they got divorced grandparents to come and look after them. Is this what happened?
No, so the divorced grandparents were just coming anyway. Like, they were just coming for a visit, and then
they hate each other, so they thought they would not tell each other that they were coming rather than arrange it on different days.
Yeah, and then it just happened that the new stepmother's sister was having her baby early, so then they had to leave the house, and the grandparents were already there, so they just left the kids with the grandparents.
Right. Okay.
Who've hated each other since they divorced because of Australia.
Yes, no, it was weird to get that shout out, wasn't it?
Yeah, like, because they have this whole mystery of, like, why did they get divorced? And I was like, what could it possibly be? And when he said, you know, ever since Australia. I'm like, what
happened in Australia?
So it turns out he wanted to go to Australia for a job and she didn't want to go. So she told him that he can go and then she's going to go. But then when he arrived in Australia, she just said, I'm going to divorce you instead.
Brutal.
And they held on to that for like 40
decades.
Years. Yeah.
It seems like there must have been, like what you said, Brendan, about everything seeming so simple. Like, I think this suggests a lot of other deep seated issues that will eventually come to the forefront again. Like,
because then, yeah, by the end of this, they're getting married again.
Yeah. I feel like if you didn't have the communication to like work through that problem.
Yeah. Yeah.
Is
probably
not much hope.
From the jump, yeah.
But yeah, like I said, like you just go, oh, good, they, air quotes, sorted this out.
I also, have a problem. Yeah, you go, Brendan.
Oh, I was going to say, why did they want to turn back into old people?
Well,
like, the grandmother is trying to say, like, oh, come on, we have to. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, why?
Yeah, I had the same question. It's like, why wouldn't you, like, you're going to die soon. Like,
yeah,
you stay 17. And then the film then introduces, the film then introduces this whole like thing that if they don't swap back, they're going to die because of all the chemicals in their body.
That is what it should have been, my aging thing. Come
yeah,
on.
It yeah. should have been seated in. Yes. In a more elegant way, because I mean, I do give the film props. I think this is the first movie we've watched where the consequence of not swapping back is literally dying.
Life or death, yeah.
Yeah. We've never had that before. So didn't expect this to be the film to introduce that, but okay. But yeah, it just like, I don't understand how swapping them back then suddenly eliminates the fact that they were exposed to all these dangerous chemicals by exposing them to more chemicals.
Yeah, I was going to say, and what would the antidote be? And also, I have a big problem. This is what I was going to say with, that they need to be in water when they do it. It's like, well, how much water? Like a pool? That's going to really dilute what the thing.
Whatever you're
like,
putting in, yeah.
Yeah. So I just had a big problem with that.
My problem was them like... using children to like make each other jealous.
Yes, I wrote down statutory a couple of times. Oh, yeah. I love that in this wholesome world, it's not even mentioned. It's like, don't worry about it.
Before we get to that, though, let's go back to the pool because they didn't drain that pool afterwards. So all the next day, the swimming team's going to go in there and all come out like 80 years old.
Brilliant. But anyway, I also wrote, you shouldn't be doing underwater shots if you're going to make them look that fucking ugly. Why bother? Is it in Romeo and Juliet where there's like a really beautiful underwater scene? Is that a thing?
Possibly. Like, there's definitely
between an aquarium. Yeah.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. I'm thinking of some underwater beautiful. If any listeners know like kind of what I'm talking about, but still, it was so ugly. I don't know why they bothered. It was the thing. Yeah. Like, I feel like you could see them holding their breath uncomfortably and it was all shot really weird, like dark silhouettes. And it was terrible.
All the bubbles from everyone with scuba suits. And
just, I don't know why they did that.
But yeah, going back to your point about the statutory stuff, like this film is really about a bunch of like grandparents wanting to like flirt and date 17-year-old children.
Yeah, which is so, so problematic.
And she straight out says it. She's like, I'm going to go out with this 17-year-old and you can't stop me. It's like, okay.
Like, now he's coming. I'm going to toy with him. I'm going to give him the business. Your grandma's.
I mean,
saying that, what was the guy that she had a crush on? Was his name Todd?
Let me just find him.
I wrote down Todd ?
It was Todd, yeah.
Yeah, looked 45. Am I wrong?
Yeah, he definitely did not look 17. Like, no one actually look 17 in this film. Like,
I mean, the two main actresses, they're not that far off. That guy, that Todd guy, he looked way older.
Yeah. And like the guy that played young Gene as well, like he looked 30.
That's the grandpa.
Yeah. Yeah. Not 17.
You know that this all stems from the distrust that we have. The distrust we have. You've seen that meme that's like Grease had us really believing that these two people were 16 years old, and it's Rizzo and then that other guy, the chubby guy. It's like they are 42 years old. Like it's crazy.
What did we think of the fashion in this film? I thought there was actually some fucking like looks that were like amazing.
Yeah,
this brings me to the like the stupidest part of the whole fucking movie for me, where I was like, why, like, how can you guys be this dumb? So the grandma got like agrees to a date with the person that her granddaughter has a crush on because the guy thinks she's her granddaughter because they look exactly the same.
Because they look exactly the same. When he's like, hey, Sydney, she responds and doesn't correct him.
Yeah,
exactly. Yeah.
And then you're telling everyone else later. That you're telling everyone else that they're cousins. Like,
yeah.
So this guy, yeah.
So he rocks up at her house and the granddaughter opens, quickly closes the door, and she's like, why is this guy here? The grandma's like, I'm going on a date with him. The granddaughter's like, well, that's the guy I like. And then the grandma's like, okay, this is really easy to solve. I will just do the first part of the date.
I'll start the date, yeah.
And then you can finish the date. I'm like, why? Why can't she just do the whole thing?
Why can't you be like, give me 10 minutes, I'm almost ready, and you go upstairs and change outfits.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
In saying this, though, this reminds me of something I saw a while ago where they do pranks like this to people on dates, and the girl goes to the toilet and she comes out in a completely different outfit.
Yeah.
And the guys never notice.
Things that identical people do, because I assume they're all like sort of messed up.
I can't remember if it was some sort of like hypnotism-y thing or like a prank thing, or I don't know, but
like most guys wouldn't get, like they wouldn't recognize that a girl has changed.
Yeah.
In the middle of a date.
Oh, wait. So we're not talking about identical twins.
No. Just the same person in two different outfits.
So she goes into the toilet in a black dress and comes out in a bright red dress with her hair completely different, and the guy doesn't say anything.
Really?
Yeah.
I feel as if, though, I would definitely flag that. But who knows? Maybe I wouldn't.
You know the way men call like dresses skirts and skirts dresses? It's like they just don't understand the difference. I think it's kind of like that.
Stupid idiots.
Cool, though. He's one of the girlies.
But yeah, so that made me think of the out. So like the grandma comes in this black dress, but then the black dress that the granddaughter rocks up in with these like long gloves, like I could like definitely see someone wearing that on a red carpet in 2024. Like it was stunning. Like a PVC black dress with PVC gloves, like stunning. Anyway.
Yeah, just a casual look for the orange room or whatever.
What's but PVC then, mean?
Like a rubbery type material. Yeah.
Because I was thinking of like plumbing materials. Anyway, go on.
But also, like a lot of the, so when the grandpa turned into the grand, like into his younger self, and then there's some scene where he's wearing like older men clothes, like those clothes would totally
just fly.
In 2024 as well. And everyone's paying him out for dressing like an old man.
They would fly and they fly.
Yeah. Because, you know, have you seen that thing that's like, I can't tell if this is a hipster like on his way to a Skepta concert or like a someone's super uncle dad. And it's like bad jeans and New Balances. And it totally is that thing.
Mm. Yeah. I don't know how I feel about the fact of watching something that's 24 years old and it looks like now, if that makes me feel younger or older. And I think it makes me feel older. What did we think of the bitchy villain in this movie?
Oh, like, she was so over the top. It was amazing.
Yeah. Like an actual psychopath.
Yeah, completely.
In the last scene, like, our hero has passed out and he's carrying her out to get medical attention, and she blocks him off and's like, no one walks out on me. It's like,
Yeah, complete narcissist. Passed. Yeah, yeah.
And then she gets punched in the face, which is iconic. like this film, like, wasn't afraid to go there. Like, I don't know what if this was like on a kid's channel or what. There's like a few moments, like people getting punched in the face. There's like the condom instructional sex ed club.
Yeah, I did feel like that.
Yeah, that was a bit
it
out.
Has,
there,
like this
it?
Disney feel, but you're like, they wouldn't do that in a Disney film. They wouldn't actually show someone putting a condom. Like,
they wouldn't say the word condom. They wouldn't say the word sex. They wouldn't say the word, like, it would, yeah, just wouldn't be a thing.
Do you know when we had to do that in high school? The guy, there wasn't enough people in the class, so a guy had to hold two bananas.
Oh, okay, that was
me and a girl had to do. He had to like double fist bananas that we had put condoms on, and he was closeted gay, and everybody knew it. And his face was beet red. He was like, "Oh my god, I have to do this with two girls."
I've definitely seen a few videos that start that way.
A double ended.
We actually had, like, I guess they would be dildos, like they were like fake penises. So we didn't have bananas. We had like literal, like big giant. Yeah, and they were big.
Your teacher had to come to class with like a suitcase of dicks.
Yeah,
for that lesson.
I never got a dick lesson. I'm really upset. Like, my entire school life, I never got a teacher coming up with a dick.
I'm sure you've had many dick lessons since then. Yeah.
I teach a lesson.
Yeah, and I mean, there should be a dick, because, like, bananas, that's got all weird curves. And
yeah, but this thing was like, you can't even see my hands in the screen because it's so big. I'm just...
So did you feel like it made you feel...
Also seen videos.
Yeah, I was like, oh, shit.
Yeah.
This...
Where you're like, teacher, do you have like a smaller one I can relate to?
Then another thing that happened in sex ed was you had to draw and name anatomical whatever. Mm-hmm. And someone that was really good at art in the class drew like a really like shaded dick.
Beautiful throbbing penis, yeah.
Yeah, with like veins and like a photorealistic dick. A teacher's like, I don't know what to
A
do
little
with this.
Bald kid ran into the room.
I do remember having to like name all the parts of the vagina and struggling hardcore. But...
I mean, look, even I struggle with that. And I've got access to the equipment.
One thing that this reminded me of, that a lot of the other SWAT films have done, I think Freaky Friday specifically did this, or maybe one of the Shaggy Dogs, where there's like right at the end, there's like a moment where they think someone's going to swap and then the film cuts out.
Yeah.
Like this one, the dad uses the soap and was like, no, stop.
You know, sometimes like maybe a songwriter won't know how to end a song and they'll just like do one refrain like 1,000 times and just kind of fades out.
I
feel like maybe the movie version of that is like, I don't just know how to wrap this up. Yeah. So they're like, let's just hint at a swap and then cut to black. Yeah. It's kind of that.
But like
I felt like maybe that's isn't a few of these. I felt there was a few like tiny little homages. Isn't that just an homage to like the 1970s one?
Yeah.
And like the dad and the son. And
yeah, that's right. It was the dad and the son in the original Freaky Friday. So
there was like a Ferris Bueller jumping over the fence scene, and I don't know. Yeah. And
yeah, I'm not mad at it.
for
a reason.
One thing I wanted to say is like, I hope in one of these transitions, you put in, I think it was Tears, like heart, like the moving speech where she's like, you don't know what it's like living today. Be as pretty or as thin as these models in these magazines, or as hip as these women in music videos are, trying to live in this stupid town full of stupid people. You don't know, Grandpa.
I mean, relatable.
You don't know what it's like living today, trying to be as pretty or as thin as these models in these magazines, or as hip as these women in these music videos are trying to live in this stupid town filled with stupid little people. No, you don't understand, Grandma. You don't understand anything.
So you heard what we thought of the movie, but how attractive did we find the cast? Now it's time for Hot or Not. Take it away, Brendan.
Are they a toot or a boot? Are they ugly or cute? Tell me if they're hot or not.
Ding.
Everyone is beautiful in their own way. I tried so hard not to rap that because I didn't want to show up Gene because that guy has no flow.
Yeah. I mean, he is an old, like, 7-year-old man.
Yeah, but he should have at least been like, clap your hands, everybody.
Terrible. All right. Tia Mowry as Sydney. Hot or not?
Okay. How old are these people? I feel uncomfortable.
Okay. Let me have a look. Okay. So.
Just pretend you're an old woman or an old man.
I'm going to date this 17-year-old. I don't even care.
They were 22.
Okay, everyone. They were 22, everyone. Look, both sisters, they're both very beautiful girls. Okay?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess it'd be weird
if Sydney was more attractive than the other one.
What?
Well,
really?
Is that because she had a young spirit because she wasn't a grandma in a young person's body?
And like got to have better outfits and stuff?
I think it's the hair up. I think that's it. Why not the hair up?
Yeah,
obviously not talking like an old woman, being like,
So I don't know. I'd have to listen back, but these Tia and Tamara could possibly be double hots. Are you aware of this?
No.
No. Where?
They were both in The Hot Chick.
Really?
Yeah.
Are they in the friend group? Like,
the friends, yeah.
Yeah, they were. Like, did I just
wait? Was this one before or after?
Before. It was 3 years before, or 2 years before.
Right. So was it even like a little?
That is crazy. Doesn't it seems like they're like a decade apart? Just in
terms of...
Yeah.
Once again, like this whole file would have been like 2 meg. This whole feature film.
Yeah. I don't think it was a nod in the whole Hot Chick. I think they just were lucky to get cast in 2 movies. But
good actresses.
Yeah, but like how many opportunities?
Didn't
they
have a TV show?
Yeah, they had a TV show that had Disney Channel movies called Twitches and Twitches 2. Yeah, like how many roles are there for two twins to act alongside each other?
You think you can take a role?
That's like
some
Parent Trap stuff. That's like Weasley brothers. That's like,
look, okay.
Does anyone remember that Australian show called Minty?
No.
And one actress played both parts.
But that's the thing. There's all these like actresses stealing these roles from these actual twins. Like, I'm going to show my range.
Any director would be glad to be like, oh, this will be, we'll cut down on shooting time, so we don't have to do this scene twice with a stand-in, blah, blah, blah.
I wonder if at any point.
That'd be the opposite, though. Like, we don't actually have to stop production. Like,
the Winklebox twins, make them female. Like,
yeah. I feel like we're coming to a reckoning where twins are going to be like, you're appropriating our culture. Like, you need to hire actual twins for twin roles. I know that the Maori sisters are pushing for it. So,
like, are they not allowed to go for jobs without each other? Like,
I think they definitely do now. So,
yeah. Okay, that's nice to know.
Identical twins.
They're weird. They're like creepy, you know, and they do that like thing where they have to like dress alike and
No, I don't think they're like that at all. Their IMDb pictures are very different than each other, so I feel like they're trying for different
things. You look closely, does it look like it's the same picture cut in half? You can see like the shoulder of the other one.
No.
Okay, cool.
All right, so Mark Taylor as young Gene. I thought he could totally get it. He was very hot.
The cheekbones, the chiseled jaw. Who looks like that? That was insane.
Yeah, he's a very attractive man, and still works to this day. Like I was,
I'll bet.
Yeah, I was expecting all these people to be like washed up, but like everyone has good careers, so good on
them. I don't know if I'm ruining the next segment, but everything I looked up on this, whenever I looked at a comment section, it was like people like, fucking Gene can get it.
So the last things that Gene has starred in He was in a short called Thirsty AF, Adventures of a Recovering Sex Addict.
Whoa.
And his latest thing was a TV series, which is he's a main character in, called The Love Club. And this is the premise. Four women, each dealing with their dating failures, make a promise to call each other if they ever run into romantic troubles again. 10 years later, they revive their love club.
Interesting.
And do it.
So, good on you, Gene. Hope Clark as grandma.
What?
Like as grandma or as the twin?
As grandma. Rate the grandma.
I mean, they weren't super geriatric looking. Good on them.
Like, yeah, they could have done an ad for home care.
Yeah.
Gary chair, yeah.
Say if they're hot or not. Tell me.
They're both attractive.
The grandpa we got, the one shirtless scene we got in the film was of the grandpa. Like,
a bold choice.
Yeah, and like they fucking teased us because when Gene first goes in front of a mirror, he's like taking off his jacket. He's like, oh, he's about to check out his abs. And then he's just like looking at himself with a shirt on. I'm like, what's the point of this? Fuck you, movie. Okay, let's round it out with Merwin Mondeser as Todd, the love interest man.
Beside the fact that he looked like somebody's dad,
yeah,
he was an attractive man.
Yeah, I mean, arguably, the fact that he looked like someone's dad made him an attractive man.
Oh, it's a genre, yeah. He's a zaddy.
Which I feel like at the start of this podcast, Lucy really would have, I don't know, related to that or like vibed with that. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah. Wait, yeah.
Have we killed your love?
My Bill Murray fetish?
Now she only wants them young.
You know, I think, how long have we been doing this podcast for?
Coming up to 7 years.
Yeah, I think it's just that I had dated so many like losers.
Now you've had like a solid stretch of a cool guy that you're less
I'm
damaged.
Like, people that are around my age are okay.
Yeah. Is it taking this long to wear you down?
If your ex had a podcast, would you just listen on principle, just like to be like, what do they talk about?
Because you're just waiting for the episode where you come up.
Well, do you know what I mean? Would you listen? I don't know if I would. I wouldn't flatter myself to think that I would come up and then I'd be like, oh, then I have to listen to them talk.
I think I'm quite narcissistic and I reckon I would listen because I'm like, how could I not come up?
So you would listen? I'm saying, do you think any of my ex-boyfriends listen?
I reckon
what's right the now, what's the answer that will give you the least anxiety?
Well, it's like I want them to listen on some level, like Bryn said, the narcissism is like, well, they should listen, they should.
But I do reckon they have, and I reckon they're all like, that obviously wasn't me. They'll listen to all your stories and be like, oh, that was that other guy before
you. Must have dated two guys that drive motorbikes and play guitar and have a lazy eye. No, I'm just trying to put in some traits.
Because clearly there's nothing wrong with me.
Yeah. Yeah.
PK.
Would you care if they were listening? Like, if you found out, would you be like, good.
I don't know. I'm not glad I got to say that. And you know, I know that I am the true loser if they are listening. You know, I jest, joking, you know.
If they are listening, they are the loser. If you're one of if you're Lucy's ex and you feel like you need to listen to a podcast, just on the
I swear to God, if there is one, I'm in a relationship for like 10 years, by the way, but whatever. Yeah. If there is one listening, can they just send even just an emoji, just something to the Instagram account? Paul takes care of it. Just put the bat signal up. I just want to know. You don't have to identify yourself. You can remain anonymous. But I don't even think any of my friends listen to this, by the way, let alone exes.
Oh, I never tell my friends.
This is a condom. This is a latex condom. And we place it over the head of the fully erect turgid penis. We roll the condom down the shaft all the way down to the base. Now, upon withdrawal, holding on to the base of the condom, we easily slide it off like this. All right, class? Now it's your turn.
Now it's time for Opinion Swap, where we find some entertaining reviews of 17 again from across the interwebs. All right. So it was hard to find ones that weren't just drooling all over young grandpa. but most of these are anyway. So the first one's from Beck, who gives it 3 stars. And she says, Zac Efron wishes he was as sexy as young Grandpa Gene. What do we think about that? I mean, Zac Efron in 17 again was pretty fucking cute. But
that's not his favorite era for me. I feel like his sweet spot didn't come to a while
when he's 24.
Yeah,
and now is a whole different thing. Love the guy, and once I saw him be really nice on this show about where he was being himself. So you know, I'm not talking shit, but you know, like High School Musical, all that. That's not it for me.
Yeah, I'd have to say like. Are we officially dating, or that it's called Are We Officially Dating in Australia? It's called That Awkward Moment.
So what are we? Yeah, whatever it is. Yeah.
Yeah. That was peak Zac Efron hotness.
Mm. That was like peak. Too beefcake. Like,
yeah.
Mm-hmm. Kind of. Yeah. Still very in very good shape. But like not like Baywatch crazy roid. That's an allegation, but you know what I mean? It's like, yeah.
So you like wiry, like rock climber Efron. Is that?
Yeah. Yeah.
On a tangent.
You know, when people go to the gym too much, it's like, I can do is put myself in the position of being like, if I was your girlfriend, you'd never be home and you would never want to eat pizza with me. Like, this relationship's not going to work. How's that how I'm like, how I rate the hotness? Like, on a gym rat who's going to be doing green smoothies all the time, then that's a bore.
On a side note, have you seen how hot Zac Efron's brother is?
No. How Zac Efron's
Zac Efron's brother, like you can find him on Instagram. He like does like travel documentaries. Dylan Efron, I think. He is very, very attractive.
Oh my God. Please wait for my review. It's like we're doing hot or not on
17 again.
Not related to the movie.
They can't be very 17. Successful. Every second picture he's got his shirt off. He needs the bicycle class.
Whoa.
Yeah. My guess. Yeah. Keeping the sexy Efron legacy alive.
Yeah. Apple did not fall far from the tree. Oh, he really looks like Zach Sidon there. Oh my God. I think he's a dad as well. Oh dear.
Lucy needs alone time.
I'm in trouble.
All right. So the next one's from Shakemeister, and they give it 3.5 stars. And they say, damn. Grandma Cat spitting straight facts throughout this whole movie. What?
She did tell some truth, right?
Yeah.
Did she?
So. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I don't know. Every time she thought, she was like, we're going to be young again. I mean, we're going to be old again.
Yeah. Or like
Charleston.
Or telling off like the school bully. She's like, young lady, you should not be acting in this way. Blah, blah, blah. And then gets punched in the face.
I guess gems are the facts that, you know, she should have, you know, learned to fly, right? And yeah. But I do feel like she should have probably left in a stretcher rather than gone to the bathroom with a bloody nose or whatever.
Yeah. Mm. Ilhan gives it 4.5 stars, and they say, 4.5 stars for young Grandpa Gene. Took off 0.5 points because not enough scenes with young Grandpa Gene. and Marissa gives it 3 stars, and she says, Tia and Tamara aren't playing teen witches in this movie. Heartbreak emoji. And have either of you guys seen their like teen witch twitches movie?
No. Oh my God, is that why it's called Twitches? That's so good.
Yeah. I think I need to watch it now.
It sounds iconic, honestly.
Yeah. Disney Plus. So. Finally, Carter Elijah says, this was 10-year-old me's sexual awakening. I think I have serious problems.
Do you think it was Grandpa Gene or...
Grandpa Gene.
It has to be Grandpa Gene.
Y'all kids think this rap stuff is new, you fool. Been doing this before you tied your shoe. New is old and old is new. And what y'all call new, I already been through.
He is is hot.
Oh, he certainly is.
Whatever floats your boat. You mess with Gene and that's all she wrote.
Let's get to tenuous recommendations, where we each recommend a piece of media that is linked to today's movie in some way. And a reminder, if you ever want to see a list of all the recommendations we have made on the show, head over to our Letterboxd page, which is linked on our website. So I'll get us started. My connection is soap. So soap is the method of swapping in this film.
Okay, let's guess.
Do I have a soap or Fight Club?
Oh, yeah.
There's actually two connections. So soap is the way that they swap. And Tonya Williams, who plays the stepmom, was in 749 episodes of Young and the Restless. And that was a show that my mom always used to watch when I was little. And when she came up in the film, I was like, how do I know? Like, this person is ingrained in my memory somehow. Mm-hmm. And then I saw that she's in Young and the Restless, which, of course, is a soap. So I'm going to recommend a 1991 film called Soap Dish. Have either of you guys seen this?
Yes.
So this...
No.
This is a pretty famous film, but I only discovered it like a couple of years ago, and I fucking loved it. So talk about a stacked cast. There is someone in this cast for everyone. So you got Sally
Try Field. Me.
Sally Field.
Who Kevin.
How dare you?
Fuck you. Kevin Kline, Robert Downey Jr., Whoopi Goldberg, Elizabeth Shue. That's, you love Elizabeth Shue, Brendan.
There you go.
Whoopi?
Yeah. Kathy Moriarty, Carrie Fisher, Kathy Najimy.
And, a lot of people.
And Terry Hatcher. So this is a comedy set on the set. It's on the set of a long-running soap where there's this difficult aging star and they want to get rid of her. So they hire her ex to come back onto the show. So his character was previously beheaded, but they're like, we'll bring him back and write it somehow that he's back on the show. And it's all... or decapitated, but like, yeah, he... So
the ISIS killer ex-boyfriend, Jesus.
Probably. These so got wild. This movie is like very well written, like that kind of snappy, fun dialogue, really well paced, amazing cast. It's one of those films that when I finally did watch it, I was like, I can't believe it's taken me so long to watch this. It's like so.
I haven't seen it in forever. Is it on something? Like,
I don't know if it's currently on something. I definitely watched it on one of the streaming services because it popped up and I'm like, I've heard the name. Like, I saw that there was some cool people on the poster. I'm like, I'm going to give this a go. And I was like blown away by it. So, definitely recommend 1991's Soap Dish.
Cool.
Lucy, what's yours?
I looked at that cast. I did a little bit of digging and I went, ain't nobody got time for that. So I thought, what can I do here? And I thought 17 is like teenager. Could I do Diary of a Teenage Girl? Looked it up, already recommended it for some reason. Can't remember why. And then I was like, same with Eighth Grade, which is maybe one of the best movies I've ever seen. Can't do that. So then I was like, this has sisters in it. What about movies with sisters, siblings? So I'm doing New York Minute with Ashley Olsen.
I got excited for a sec.
I just Googled movies with siblings. So throw some out there that you think of.
The Virgin Suicides.
No, that's real siblings. Real siblings acting on screen.
Acting on screen. The Sweet Life movie.
I don't know what that is.
The Sprouse Brothers. The movie.
Oh, right. No, I've never seen it. Sorry, Sprouseys. Donnie Darko, you know, Maggie. Anyway, so I'm doing Gross Point Blank with John and Joan Cusack.
I
didn't realize they're both in it.
And then when you go into the trivia of that, there is three other Cusacks in that movie. So there's only two people in their immediate family that aren't in it, the dad and the sister. So I think the mum's in it and some other siblings. So crazy. So
you do realize that there's a sequel to that film that stars Hilary Duff.
Well, there you go. Everybody's a winner. No, what is it?
John Cusack, he made a sequel to that film called War Inc. And it stars Hilary Duff as a Turkish pop star called Yonika Babyyear.
That sounds like a fever dream, Paul. I don't think this movie exists.
And Hilary Duff shoves a scorpion down her pants.
Yes,
I swear to God.
It doesn't exist.
It exists, and Dan Aykroyd's on the toilet in the film.
Dan Aykroyd's in this movie.
Yeah.
So been a long time since I've seen it, but I was into I remember enjoying it. So John Cusack plays a hitman, and he takes a job that's in his hometown, and it just so happens to be that it's when his 10-year high school reunion is on at the same time. So there's like his old high school sweetheart, there's a bit of romance, some funny stuff, whatever. Also, the fact that it's the 10-year reunion is wild. I'm like, in my mind, I can't believe that's how young they were. I'm doing Gross Point Blank. There's other people in it too. Mini Driver plays the love interest.
Minnie Driver's really having a moment at the moment.
Yeah, she is. What spurned that?
I don't know. She's just popping up and everything.
Yeah,
she was in the Camilla Cabello Cinderella movie.
Sure.
She was in The Beekeeper with Jason Statham.
And so Dan Aykroyd, Jeremy Piven, there's more, there's a few. And I remember enjoying it when I watched it. So there you go, Gross Point Blank.
All right, thanks, Lucy, for your recommendation.
Brendan said nothing.
War Inc.
Brendan said nothing because he is furiously looking for his...
Well, you took mine.
Gross Point Blank.
How is that fucking possible?
I have a movie in mind.
Yes. What is that movie?
This film was in high school, and the film that I watched, they go to a high school for a bit, and so that's my that's my link.
Okay. Hit us with your shit link, yes.
It's a movie called Dinner in America. I watched it because someone on a much more popular podcast said it was good. And so I watched it. That could also be a link, our podcast and this podcast. So there's two links for you. I did my homework.
That's so what's the movie? Perfect. No, it's really not.
So what?
Two podcasts exist? That's... What is the movie? I don't know it.
The movie is called Dinner in America. The reason I watch it is because the director, writer, has a new movie coming out called Snack Shack, which looks like a very much a throwback 90s summer comedy kind of thing. So it made me more interested to go back and watch his sort of first feature debut. And it's, yeah, it was interesting. It's like a very angry punk rocker, who ends up in sort of not so much a road trip, but being tangled up in the mess of this girl who's very sweet and innocent and constantly picked on. And it's just sort of the rage of this punk rocker who's on the run from the cops for lighting things on fire, sort of building this relationship with this girl, and being the fire that she needs to beat the people who are assholes to her.
Has it got actors in it that we know, or
Kyle Garliner is a guy I know because he was in Veronica Mars.
Yeah.
He's little Bucky or whatever his name was in Veronica Mars.
Okay.
You'd recognize him.
Yeah.
He played a pretty major role. I don't want to have spoilers, but there's major things that he did.
In Veronica Mars?
Yeah, he did some very full-on
stuff. But other than that...
I love spoilers from 20 years ago.
Yeah.
My God, I'm watching Veronica Mars again. That's it. Yeah.
But it was a fun film. It's very crass, every character is just very up to 11. So the school bullies are frighteningly aggressive. But also this punk rocker is as well. And so it's just fun seeing him react vengeance on all these people sort of taking advantage of this meek person. And I don't know. It was just an easy, fun watch if you want a comedy.
Oh, Nice. And he was Beaver in Veronica Mars, not Bucky.
The same name.
I don't know what that was all about last night, but if you and Gene had something going on at your previous school, which I find very hard to believe, it's over.
Over.
Look, the rules of this school is that my men are off limits. That includes my brother Todd.
So if you head over to our website, you'll see that each of us has ranked every body swap we have reviewed on the podcast. So my question is, where are we all going to put 17 again, not the Zac Efron one, on our list?
Oh my God, we need to start putting tiles on these. There's so many. My brain is like so stretched to the limit of what it can handle. Like I can't, I'm like, the information is just falling out.
Well, if you need a reminder of what any of these are, just let me know.
Okay, so it's like 100 titles here.
But surely there's some that you can't forget, like a Monkey Bone. That should give you like a bearing of where you are on the list. And then like just go below or above that.
Yeah.
And keep doing that until there's ones you can't recognize.
I've got mine figured out.
Same here. So I'm going to put it in between Brother Bear and Tammy and the T-Rex.
Wait, why between Brother Bear and Tammy and the T-Rex?
I don't know.
Is that because there were two movies you recognized on the list?
No, because I was thinking about Family Switch. How I said it was better. So I'm like, it has to be above that. And then there was Jack Frost. For whatever reason, I was making a point that Jack Frost was better than Family Switch. And then there's The Dude in Me, which, you know, I remember these.
I'm putting it in between Birth and The Swap, because I think it actually reminded me a lot of The Swap in a way. That was another 2000s TV movie, one of the first ones we ever did on the show.
Where is that? Where is Birth on your list? I thought like you loved that movie.
High
Why
up.
Am I scrolling down so much?
It's like in the middle-ish.
Paul loves a lot of these films.
It's the same fucking length list as you guys got.
Where is Birth?
I wish I could put them all on the top.
That's not true.
You're like, oh, I love Birth. I love In Control.
It's near on your list. It's like next to.
Oh, there it is. But Birth's quite far down. I thought it was you had it up higher than that.
Yeah, but I still like all these movies around this part. It's
What's
not.
Every day? Is that where they swapped every day?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yes. Like, and that film, like, is fucking cultural relevancy grows by the day because, like, M. Gouri Rice is the star of the new Mean Girls movie. Justice Smith's in, like, every second movie now. That was ahead of its time.
Yeah.
Brendan, where are you putting it?
I'm going to put it just under And You Thought Your Parents Were Weird and Wife and Husband / Husband and Wife. Was it the French? No, Italian?
Italian.
Yeah, the Italian.
That's one I didn't see.
Ah, you missed out. You missed out.
Oh, it was an Italian one. Adrian would have liked to have watched that.
Actual?
He's Italian. He could have translated it for me.
Oh, that sounds even better. Yeah. Someone say it to you in your ear as you watch it.
What they just said was...
Uh-oh.
All right. So next episode, we actually got this recommended by multiple people emailing. So it's a new movie that just came out.
Which doesn't mean anything in terms of goodness.
Well, multiple people have said, like, and their recommendations for those are actually good. And it has got good reviews. So fingers crossed. It's a 2023 horror comedy made by Shudder called Suitable Flesh. And the film stars Heather Graham, who apparently this is her, like, return to form. Yeah. So the film is about a psychiatrist who becomes obsessed with one of her young patients, who she later discovers is linked to an ancient curse.
Ooh, cool.
So,
when did it come out?
That actually sounds fun.
Yeah, last year. So
don't hold your breath. They never turn out.
It's based on a H.P. Lovecraft novel. So
A little less.
He invented Scientology? Excited.
No, that wasn't him.
No, he just promoted racism.
Who invented Scientology? What's that author's name?
L. Ron Hubbard.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Don't say it too much. We'll get in trouble.
I'm going to hashtag it.
Oh, no.
So, yeah, that should be a fun one. So thanks to our listeners who recommended that. And
yeah, thank you.
We'll read out your emails on the next step. So, yeah, thanks for your patience, listeners. Whenever we can get around to recording another one, it'll be on your feed.
Calm down.
Now, actually, a quick programming note. Quick programming note. Google Podcasts is about to be decommissioned. So if you listen to us on Google Podcasts, make sure you resubscribe to us on whatever service you decide to go to next, or you won't know. I mean, that's what I listen to podcasts on, and it's going away. So, you will lose all your podcast history, everything like that. So if you still want to listen to us, make sure you re-add us on whatever service you choose.
Maybe Spotify. Maybe leave a review just to test it and make sure it's working.
Yeah, that's the best way. Yeah. So until next time, don't be a piece of shit on the ground, DPW, and review us on iTunes or Spotify. And I was Paul Mitzi.
I was Lucy Thomas.
And that was a reference to My Brother the Pig. And I'm Brendan Levi.
Thanks for listening. Bye.
Bye.
Yeah, bye.
You know, my sister did ask, what is DPW? I've lost it in the, like...
The Swellcast podcast is recorded in Adelaide, Australia. It's hosted by Paul Mitzi and edited by Brendan Levi and Paul Mitzi. Our theme song was written and performed by John Marco of Too Creative, featuring Lucy Thomas, and recorded at Browntown Studios. Our music bumpers were created by Reggie Parker. Contact him on parkerregmusic@gmail.com. Thanks for listening.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.